Do you remember the first time that you got lost? Like, really, really lost. I don't mean the kind of like, I took the wrong exit, but I still know where I am kind of lost. I mean like the, when you're a child and you're in the middle of mire and you look up and your mom isn't there. Or maybe in the pre-GPS days when you were driving and you had MapQuest maps and all of a sudden your map felt like it was upside down and you had taken a turn and you're in a town where you've never been before and you don't know where you are. That kind of lost. That sinking feeling hits your stomach. Your heart starts to race. You start to sweat. And you think to yourself, how did I get here? And how am I going to get out of it? Spiritually speaking, the wilderness is kind of like that. That lost feeling. Those feelings of uncertainty and silence and loneliness and temptation. Questions that you don't have answers for. And here's the thing, Jesus didn't stumble into the wilderness. He was led there. And during Lent, we, in a similar way, we choose to enter in to the wilderness. There's two reasons usually that we end up in the wilderness. First reason, like Jesus in our story, sometimes God leads us into the wilderness. And sometimes we find ourselves, like the Israelites, wandering around the wilderness because of our own poor choices. But here's the good news. Whether you're in the wilderness because God led you there, or whether you're there because of your own poor choices, God meets you there, either way. God always meets us in the wilderness. So let's walk into the wilderness together for a few minutes. So it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. See, the wilderness is part of the journey. Jesus was not lost. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. This is right after Jesus' baptism. Right after a voice from God said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Just after the mountaintop experience, the Spirit leads him into the desert. And that word led is important. This wasn't a punishment. This is all part of the plan. It wasn't a failure. It wasn't a wrong turn. It was preparation. See, sometimes God leads us into hard seasons. We don't like that very well. We don't like to be led into those places. We prefer that the GPS would say, in 500 feet, you will arrive at blessings. But instead, we get rerouting, take the long way around. Really? Do I have to take the long way around? See, in Scripture, wilderness is rarely wasted space. It's training ground. It's clarifying ground. It's identity shaping ground. God works on us in the wilderness. And while sometimes God leads us into hard seasons, sometimes we wander there on our own. Think about Israel. God brings the people of Israel out of Egypt. And they know where the promised land is. And we know we can look at maps and do the math of how many people there were and how fast they could travel. It probably should have taken them 2 or 3 weeks to travel from where they were in Egypt to where the promised land was. Instead, it took 40 years Why did it take 40 years? Fear, grumbling, distrust. Sometimes our pride and our stubbornness and our impatience leads us into dry places. But again, here's the good news. Whether you wandered there or God led you there, God always shows up in the desert. I mean, have you ever had your GPS take you on a route that didn't make sense? Like, you kind of knew where you were going, but you had the GPS on just to make sure, and all of a sudden you think you're supposed to go this way, and the GPS takes you this way. You're like, why in the world am I going this way? You still get to your destination, and sometimes you find out later that there was a pile-up on the highway that would have cost you an extra half hour, and your GPS really did know what it was doing. But we find ourselves on strange routes sometimes. Again, sometimes because the GPS knows better and sends it a different way, or we take a wrong turn, and what does the GPS do? It recalculates. It's really a genius system, right? You take a wrong turn, it says, recalculating. You ever notice it doesn't say, recalculating? Kind of what we would expect it to, right? Recalculating again. Well, it's got that nice pleasant, recalculating. Finding the next turn. We expect God to be that way too, don't we? Sometimes we expect that God just loses his patience with us from all our mistakes. It goes, really, again? We're doing this one more time? But that's not what God is like. This is the beauty of the Old Testament. The beauty of the story of the Israelites is that we see God's long-suffering, God's patience. How many times do the Israelites fall flat on their face, completely turn their back on God, and do the exact opposite thing that he tells them to do? And he says, all right, let's regroup, recalculating, let's try this again. That's good news, because for all the times that I've turned the wrong way and fallen flat on my face, he still has patience with me. He still has patience with you. The second thing we learn about the wilderness is that the wilderness exposes our needs. See, the desert has a way of stripping things down. No distractions, no noise. No backup plan, just hunger and silence and temptation. See, Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days. The enemy doesn't show up when Jesus is still glowing from the transfiguration on top of the mountain. The enemy shows up when Jesus is tired and hungry and physically depleted. Same for us. We're most vulnerable when we're exhausted, when we feel unappreciated, when we're grieving, or when we're lonely. The enemy's first temptation to Jesus was, turn these stones into bread. He knew that Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days, so he goes right to the heart of Jesus' need. He says, you're hungry. You need food. Don't trust God. Do it yourself. Turn these stones to bread. See, Israel faced the same thing. They were in the wilderness. Some estimates say there were between 600,000 and a million of them traveling together. Can you imagine the chuck wagon that they had to have? Right? They run out of food. And they go, God, provide food for us. Why did God take us out here to leave us out here to starve to death? They say, we should go back. Let's go back to slavery because we had 3 square meals a day. So they grumble against God because they're hungry. What does God do? He provides. He gives them manna. It comes down every single morning and enough for the day. And what do they do about that? They complain. Why do we have to eat the same thing every day? It sounds like toddlers, right? We're kind of like toddlers. Jesus calls us sheep, which isn't always a compliment. But the wilderness reveals to us what we think we can't live without. Exposure isn't punishment, it's diagnosis. Have you ever, I'm getting to that age where we've got to have labs and medical tests done, right? You've had this before where you got to fast before you go get your labs done. The fasting is not punishment. The fasting is not there to make you hurt. It might feel that way. But the fasting is preparation so that your body can be clear and they can diagnose what's going on. That's what wilderness does to us. That fasting in the wilderness takes us down so that there can be a diagnosis, so we can see at the core where our weaknesses are. It shows us where we're anxious. It shows us where we want to be in control. It shows us where we don't trust. And that can feel really uncomfortable. Amen? But that exposure, seeing where our weaknesses are, that's the first step towards healing. See, when you're lost, you start to notice things that you can't, that you normally just ignore, right? Like street signs, the gas gauge, right? Landmarks. The wilderness makes you pay attention. It exposes how dependent you really are. Now, I'm curious, how many of you can't drive without your GPS? I know there's a few of you out there. I know there's at least one out there. I won't point fingers. Some of us are really, really, really reliant on that GPS to get us to where we need to be. And over time, what happens? You turn the GPS off and you're like, well, I don't know how to get to Meijer. Because you never pay attention. Right? I'm that way. If I'm a passenger in a car, we can go to the same place 30 times. If I'm the passenger, I don't know how to get there. If I drive, I go once and I got it figured out. Because they pay attention. And the wilderness, being lost, causes us to pay more attention. To think more about what's really going on. So my last point today is that the wilderness teaches us how to depend. Here's what's remarkable about this story that we just read about Jesus. Jesus doesn't rely on his own willpower. He doesn't rely on his own strength. He relies on Scripture. He's tempted in this story three times, and three times he says, "It is written." He doesn't rely on strength, not emotion, not charisma, but truth. And not just any truth. If you're really paying attention, every scripture that he quotes comes from the book of Deuteronomy. The very book that was written to the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. That's kind of crazy. I've always been fascinated by that fact that all three of his responses come from Deuteronomy. How many of us know Deuteronomy really well? But if Jesus went to Deuteronomy three times to overcome temptation, don't you think we should probably think about it a little bit more? Just so you know what's coming up next. After Lent, we're going to take a little dive into Deuteronomy. I've always wanted to do that because I always wanted to figure, what is it that, why was that book so important that Jesus quoted it three times? Part of it is that it was written to the Israelites while they were in the wilderness. This is a key point that I want you to hear. Dependence is stronger than independence. Something in your brain is going, that can't be right. Why does your brain do that? Because you've been told your whole life that you should do it yourself, that you should take care of yourself, that self-reliance is the best way to go. If you want something done right, do it yourself. This story tells us differently. The wilderness teaches us dependence. You know why God took the Israelites out of Egypt and led them through the desert? He was trying to build a nation that completely relied on him, so that nation could be an example to the rest of the world. He wanted to build a nation that was completely, totally focused and dependent on him. And what did they do? They complained, they grumbled, they tried to do it themselves. When he told them, "I'm giving this to you," they went, "Ah, it's going to be too hard, we can't do it." They couldn't get to that place of trusting him completely. And man, do we have a hard time with that. We want to do it ourselves. It starts when we're about 2 years old. Me do it. Me do it. We still do it when we're adults. I'll do it. I'll take care of it myself. Trying to carry a heavy load when there's a dolly sitting right there, that's pride. Scripture, prayer, community. That's the dolly that God gives us. You know how important this community is in your spiritual life. God gave you this community. And I know for many of you, from hearing your stories, that this community has stood with you in some really difficult, trying times. I know many of you have stories of how God has shown up in the darkest moments of your life. Trying to do that on your own is silly. It doesn't make sense. God has given us this community. He's given us his help, and we continue to try to do it on our own. So God fed Israel with manna, even when they were eating manna because of their own distrust. God sent angels to care for Jesus. And what do we learn from that? No matter how you got into your wilderness, whether it was a medical diagnosis, a broken relationship, a mistake that you made, a life change that wasn't your choice, he meets you there, regardless of how you got there. Every time, he meets you there. So let's come back to being lost. When you're lost, what do you want the most? You want to know where you are, and that someone is coming, that help is coming, that I'm going to find my way out of this. The wilderness feels like being lost. But with God, you're never abandoned. You may be in the wilderness, but you're not without direction. Sometimes God leads us there to shape us. Sometimes we find our own way there because we're human. But God always, always meets us there. And maybe that's what Lent is really about. Not punishing ourselves, not trying to prove something to God, but stepping into this little 40-day wilderness in order to learn to be dependent again. This week I'm going to invite you to something really simple. 5 minutes a day. Ask yourself two questions. When today did I feel the farthest from God? And when today did I feel the closest to God? Write it down. No guilt, No judgment. Just awareness. Seeing where God shows up. Because the more we're aware, the more we recognize that even in the wilderness, even in the back roads, even when the GPS says, recalculating, God is still guiding. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you for this story. The story of Jesus in the wilderness, that we can see your provision. We can see your presence. We can see his reliance on truth. Through these stories of wilderness, we see that no matter what, you meet us there. No matter how we got here, you're here with us in the wilderness. Teach us to depend on you every day. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.